Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome back to Families USA Radio Row, Families First. We're across from the Supreme Court. We know tomorrow it's going to be a madhouse with everybody protesting on all sides of this. I kind of like that, though. I have to admit, I'm a sports person, so let's have the opinions out there. Let's not stifle any opinions. And I say that often on the show, and I've got with us now Dr. Georgia C. Benjamin. What's the C stand for?
Curtis.
I love when you know, I'm Kate S. Delaney.
Oh,
you will never guess my middle name. If you guess my middle name, I'll give you $1,000. What's S stand for?
Oh, wow.
Da, 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 da. We're being silly and having fun with the doc. Surely, no. It stands for Shana, which means Shana. Angel in translation Gaelic. My family came from Ireland.
Okay.
So, Doc, I mean, obviously this is, and you have a long resume, and we'll go over that as we intro you, at the beginning of the show, but this is serious stuff. I mean, no fooling. What happens if the Supreme Court, we'll just start with the heart of it, if the Supreme Court basically rules for the plaintiffs, what happens then ultimately to maybe 13 million people who rely on the subsidies?
It means their insurance costs go up by a third. Imagine having your rent suddenly go up by a third. Or your food costs, or your car payment. You'd have to make some real tough decisions about whether you would continue to have a car or live where you're living.
Right.
In this case, whether they have insurance or not.
Okay, so, and then if that happens, that's exactly immediately, because the program will be halted. What's the alternative? Because that's what I would want to know. What's the alternative? What if I'm one of those people, and I've got a sick child or husband or whatever, and we have to have those subsidies? Now we're told, sorry.
Well, you know, the program will still go on. It just will be unaffordable, and people will not buy it, and they'll lose their coverage. And let's say you're in the middle of your cancer treatment. You could, theoretically, not continue treatment.
Because you can't afford it. There's no way to pay for it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Why in this country, we live in America, it's the greatest country on the face of the earth. Why is it, you know, I mentioned that my family roots are from Ireland. And a cab driver one time told me about health care. He said, you people are barbaric. How is it the land of milk and honey? How did we get to this point?
The only industrialized nation in the world does not guarantee health care coverage for all its citizens. It was one of the last things we needed to fix in a civilized society. And we didn't do it perfectly, but we got close, and now they want to take it away.
What do you hear from people? Because I'm sure you get tons of emails and calls, and what do they tell you? You probably know a ton of stories.
Well, people are afraid. There are lots of great stories of people whose health has been improved, their financial well-being has been improved, and now they're just afraid they're going to lose the coverage.
Yeah. And you were a practitioner, too. So you were, what were you dealing with when you were practicing? Much different.
I practiced emergency medicine for the first half of my career in the ER. And I saw people who came in too late to be taken care of properly, people who delayed care when we knew it was preventable. I saw people that were denied care. Once I saw them in the ER, I referred them to see a doctor, and nobody would see them.
Wow. And then you get the call back about that, where it's like, well, what do you do? I mean, what do you do?
You work to try to find somebody that'll take care of them. But it's really tough.
Yeah.
It's really, really tough.
Yeah. And, you know, and if we look at your bio, which is 10 miles long, it means you must be a really impressive person. And I'm kidding you, you are. But one of the things is, you know, I love the first line. You're well known in the world of public health as a leader, practitioner, and administrator, which we just talked about. When you jump from being the doc to being the administrator, wow, it's a world of difference, isn't it? Did you just get mired in really what some of the statistics were and what people's stories were? Because you're practicing, you're focusing on getting people well or helping them. That's different from jumping on the other side.
Yeah, you get to help people in larger lumps. You know, when you make a policy decision that affects thousands of millions of people, it's an important policy decision.
Yeah.
And it's practicing medicine at a different level.
Yeah. And you practice medicine in a whole bunch of different places. You know, Tacoma, Washington. You graduated from the Illinois Institute of Technology. Did you think you'd end up here doing what you're doing now?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. I want to be a researcher.
You want to be a researcher. So working on something, whatever the cure for something or whatever it might be. Wow. You know, you also serve on the boards of Research America, Partnership for Prevention. What do groups like that say? What does Partnership for Prevention, what is that about? What's their goal?
It's a group that's working to get the nation to focus a lot on prevention. Prevent things from happening. Research America advocates for research funding at the federal level. Most of the groups I work with, they're all nonprofits, and they really work to try to improve the public's health.
Right. What do you tell people, you know, when you, on that side of it, when they poo-poo the whole idea of, well, it's up to you. It's, you know, if you just get in shape or you get your heart right or you do whatever, what do you tell them about money being spent on prevention? You know, because I get calls like that. And then I get other calls where people say, well, no, this is good because now I get a little bit of a stipend to go to the gym. There's more incentive. What do you tell people?
Well, we certainly have an individual responsibility. No question about that. But we also have a responsibility to our neighbors. And I tell them we have to have both, not one or the other.
Yeah. As we go back to this, what we first started talking about, the Supreme Court oral argument on the subsidies, do you say, because what some people will say is, well, I mean, look, people had to pay money back, $500 back, or, you know, it's a mess in some states. What's the counter argument to that, that, oh, this is a mess and things aren't right anyway, and, you know, my health care was different?
Well, it will get better over time. The administrative aspects, and the truth of the matter is, even if you have to pay back a small amount that was overpaid, we do that all the time with taxes.
Right.
You know, well, all the time. That's not unusual. And the truth of the matter is that if you get sick, mm-hmm. you know, you will rue the day you didn't have health insurance.
Because then that's where you get to they're bankrupt. Somebody goes bankrupt, they're in a car accident, they're in the hospital, they have gallstones, they have some, even sometimes, as you know, as a doctor, it can be the simplest things, right?
The 28-year-old who doesn't have health insurance, who gets appendicitis, the bill for that without insurance is $12,000 to $15,000.
And where are you coming up with the 12 to 15? Yeah, it's going to be for life. You're going to be paying that with the student loans and whatever else you have.
They can't pay that.
They can't pay that. Yeah. So you're stuck. What would you ultimately like to see happen with where we're going with health care? Just you personally, as you've been through the battles all the way.
Well, I got to tell you, I would do Medicare for all.
Single payer.
Medicare for all preserves the private sector, but it just simplifies administrative aspects.
Right. And if so, that would streamline it, and even though there's arguments about, oh, that wouldn't be right, you still say the medicine practice would be just as good.
It works for all of our seniors.
Yeah. That's good. Look, how all you seniors out there, tell me about it. Send me a note, americatonight.net. Doctor, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate you. You're just a delight.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Cardinal's voice is hiding in those weak and drunken hearts. Yes, he kissed the girls and made them cry, those hard-faced queens of misadventure.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Do good people ever want to call an attorney just to find out if they're right or wrong? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what are you forced to think about first? Money. If you could call as often as you wanted and talk as long as you need without a bill, would you call? Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
I know you see me just like you. I know you see me just like you. I'm just trying to make my way.
Once again, we are here in Washington, D.C. for the Supreme Court oral arguments, King versus Burwell. 5 million people to 13 million, really, is the higher could lose health care subsidies-wise. We've got Gina Gavlik with us, and her focus is diabetes. I'm going to let you tell us the organization you're with, American Diabetes, right?
Yeah, the American Diabetes Association.
Okay, and so when we look at diabetes, I bet you some of the people with subsidies, a lot of that goes toward that. Am I right?
Yes. There are 24 million Americans with diabetes and another 86 million who have prediabetes, which means that their risk of developing type 2 is significantly higher.
Wow. All right. So going down that lane of what did it mean once the subsidies kicked in? I mean, if you go roll back to the beginning of the Affordable Care Act, how would you say it's working for people in that predicament?
Yes, what we did was the American Diabetes Association has been actively involved with the American Cancer Society and the American Heart Association, working with members of Congress on behalf of people with chronic disease. So obviously I'm here on behalf of the American Diabetes Association, but the American Heart, American Cancer Society, Cancer Action Network, and the National Multiple Sclerosis Society, all five of our organizations just submitted a friend of the court brief that was filed with the Supreme Court on behalf of this case that hearings are going to start for tomorrow. And the reason that we did that was, to go back to your question, prior to the Affordable Care Act being implemented, We, the American Diabetes Association, as well as the other organizations, have been in constant communication and meetings with members of Congress and also the Obama administration to talk about what health care looked like. not only access to health care, but affordability of health care and adequacy of health care, and what that meant for people with chronic disease. And with diabetes, heart disease, stroke, cancer, multiple sclerosis being chronic diseases that affect many, many millions of Americans, and it's very costly, both physically and financially, wanting to make sure that Congress knew what people with chronic diseases needed to both prevent disease and to manage their diabetes.
Yeah, I was going to say that. We talked about prevention a little bit, and sometimes people poo-poo that, like, oh, yeah, you tell somebody to lose weight or you tell them to do whatever. But are you seeing successes with that, with all your, with some of your prevention programs?
Yes, and the biggest thing is that people have to know what their condition is, and then they also need to know what they can do to actually prevent the disease from developing, or if they already have the disease, to prevent complications from developing. So to be able to tell people, watch what you eat, exercise more, things like that, which are important pieces, if people don't know how to roll that out in their own individual life, mm-hmm. they'll have a hard time doing that. Mm-hmm. So working with programs that actually give examples of things to do that actually are reasonable things that people can incorporate into their everyday hectic lifestyle does make a huge difference.
You mentioned this at the top where you're talking about the other organizations also. But is how diabetes-wise, because there's different types, how big is that in our society? It seems like it's getting bigger.
It is. The epidemic continues to skyrocket. So right now, one in three people have prediabetes, which puts them at risk for diabetes, and one in five people have type 2 diabetes. It's predicted that if current trends don't continue, that by the year, that by 2050, that one in three people will have diabetes.
Wow, one in three.
Yeah.
One in three. So the fear is, because of what we mentioned, with those numbers being so high, a lot of the people with the subsidies need that for their treatments.
Right. And the reason that we submitted that friend of the court brief to the Supreme Court was the fact that what that's looking at is as tax credits.
Mm-hmm.
And those tax credits, that's the federal government's financial assistance program. So people who meet the financial eligibility, who qualify for those tax credits, use those tax credits to help pay for their premiums for their health insurance plans. Now, with the King versus Burwell case mm-hmm. that's going on, King is challenging that those tax credits should only be awarded to people who have purchased, consumers who have purchased their insurance through state plans. What that would mean is that 9.6 million people who have purchased their health insurance through federal marketplace or federal exchanges would no longer receive those tax credits. And that becomes a big snowball nightmare, because people then are not going to have, they're not going to have that additional financial assistance to be able to help pay for their premium.
And what is usually the additional financial assistance? How much is it? But I mean, I'm sure it's different across
right.
the board.
Right, it varies. So there's a process that is used to determine what your eligibility is,
mm-hmm.
And then based on what your household income is, determines what your tax credit and things like that would be if you're eligible for the program.
Right, and the states that would be hit the hardest, I think, ideally, little research on this, Florida, Texas, right, Pennsylvania, Georgia, because of the fact that they don't offer it.
Right. There's actually only 16 states that actually offer state exchanges or state marketplace
mm-hmm.
plans.
Mm-hmm.
So that would leave 34 states and 9.6 million people out of luck. I mean, and the problem too is that if the Supreme Court doesn't do those tax credits, people are going to find in those 34 states that their premiums are going to be a lot higher as well, and they're going to see an increase. Probably, we're guesstimating based on some studies that have been done, between 47% and 50% increase in their premiums.
So 47% to 57%
to 50% increase.
50%.
Yeah.
Wow, that yeah. is crazy.
So we're really hopeful that the Supreme Court does not side with King, that the Supreme Court realizes or recognizes that when Congress put together, when they were drafting, and then when they implemented the Affordable Care Act, we being those five organizations that submitted the brief, we don't feel that Congress ever intended it, that tax credit, to be just for people going and getting their insurance plan or exchange through a state plan.
Right.
We really feel that Congress intended that for it to be whether they were doing state or federal marketplace
right.
exchanges.
Right.
And that's a huge difference, and that will impact many, many people. And what we found over the years is that, you know, the law can't accomplish Congress's intent to significantly improve access to health care if those tax credits aren't awarded to people who are purchasing, whether it's from a state or a federal type of a marketplace or an exchange. It's going to completely not do what Congress had intended to do.
So let's say the worst thing happens and it goes in the opposite direction. You just imagine that your phone lines are going to be blowing up and get a bunch of emails because people are going to be confused. And when you say numbers like 47 to 50%, I mean, I guess there'd be a re-rack. There'd have to be a way to figure something out. But when we say there has to be a way to figure something out, you know what that means.
Yeah. I think the challenge is that, you know, without insurance, because that is very well what can end up happening, diabetes and other chronic disease is incredibly expensive. So the fact that for an individual to have to take on the burden of not just that chronic disease, but also the financial burden that if you don't have adequate insurance coverage will put you into debt and could very well put you into bankruptcy, that's horrible. That's
right.
Not something that's not right. It's not what Congress intended when they passed the Affordable Care Act. They really wanted to help people access what they needed. And access is twofold. You have to have access to health care, but you also have to have insurance because
right.
health care is expensive. And without health insurance, those costs can be even that much more higher.
Would you imagine that, you know, we have this tendency to bury our head in the sand and somebody in that situation would ignore a chronic problem? As you know, diabetes can lead to, terrible things, loss of limbs, loss of life. Even some very famous people we know, like Ron Santo, who, you know, Mr. Chicago Cub. I knew Ron, and, you know, we saw what happened with him. So there are scary consequences to this, aren't there?
Yes, there are. And that's why I think it's really important that and grassroots advocacy is so incredibly important. People who either are living with a chronic disease, who care for people with a chronic disease, whether it be family members or healthcare professionals, it's really important for them to have their finger on the pulse of what is going on and to be able to weigh in with their personal and or professional stories about what does this look like on the ground level? What does this mean for people who were either living with the disease or were caring for people with the disease? And what are the outcomes? What are the tragedies? And the bottom line is when people have access to the care that they need, whether it's for prevention or whether it's for treatment to prevent complications from developing, you know, you have to be able to do those things in order for people to have improved health outcomes. And studies show over and over and over again that access to quality, affordable health care definitely does save lives.
Yeah. Gina, thank you so much. Very enlightening. Your numbers, your statistics, I think,
thank
are
you.
Powerful for people listening. And, you know, we have listeners on all sides of this who are anti, who are confused, and who just want good health care. I think that's the bottom line. People just want health care that's affordable and good.
Yeah.
No matter what your ideology.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the other thing, too, and we talk about this very frequently, is, you know, diabetes isn't a partisan issue. So diabetes doesn't care if you're Republican
that's
or Democrat.
Right.
It doesn't care how old you are, what color you are. It doesn't care. It affects everybody. And we all need to come together to figure out ways to make America healthier.
There you go. I love it. The perfect way to end this. Thank you, Gina.
Thank you very much.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective. Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
The freeze-dry guy, leader in the preparedness industry for 44 years, is closing his California warehouse. Don't miss out on this huge warehouse sale and receive discounts from 30 to 40% off on the finest Mountain House and Packaway brand freeze-dried and dehydrated foods for long-term food storage or even everyday use. Plus deep discounts on all in-stock survival gear. The freeze-dry guy is offering a wide selection of freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans and even individually packaged entrees. Remember, meats, vegetables, fruits, and long-range patrol rations are the main components for any long-term food storage. This is limited to stock on hand, so hurry and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, as always, free shipping to the lower 48 states. So hurry up and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, this is limited to stock on hand. The freeze-dry guy is your choice for survival food in an uncertain world.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Help the aged. One time they were just like you. Drinking, smoking, sexing, sniffing glue.
All right, once again, we are broadcasting across from the Supreme Court, Families First USA Row. Kate Delaney, as always, the captain of this ship as we dock in a lot of nooks and crannies across America. Proud to say we picked up a whole bunch of affiliates, one in New Hampshire, too, and we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. Anyway, the gist is King versus Burwell, and we're talking about people losing health care, the subsidies, and what that's at the heart of this if we were to drill it down. So sitting here with me now at Radio Row, he's been here before, is Max Richmond. And Max, you have such an impressive resume, but I think what people need to know is you know the politics on the Hill. You're a former staff director of the Senate Special Committee on Aging, and you're obviously a 16-year vet of Capitol Hill. Because on this kind of a radio show, when you do talk radio, especially syndicated, and you have people from the West to the East and the South and everywhere in between and different ideologies, the one thing we constantly hear over and over again is, why can't we have any bipartisan cooperation? And we see on some things there's a little bit of give. But when you, this is a political question, but when you first saw the change in Congress and what happened there, were you concerned thinking of this is going to be all these challenges now to the Affordable Care Act, and we're seeing that tipping point with this one that's happening tomorrow?
Well, the challenges existed as the law worked its way as a bill through the Congress. And remember, it was a tortured trip. And the bill passed the Senate by, I believe, just one vote.
Yep.
And that was a lot of arm twisting. So I'm not surprised. And I'm not surprised for one reason, watching what happened the very first day of this Congress. The day everyone was sworn in, the House majority changed the rules, had a rule change that, in effect, unless it's overturned, will reduce disability, Social Security disability benefits next year by 20%.
20%? So we're getting older, baby boomers.
I would like members of Congress to spend a month living on $1,046. And see how easy it would be to lose 20% of that. So that was an ominous sign, and I think we're going to have plenty of challenges as we go along for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
It's a tough, tough period.
What specifically on the subsidies, what does that mean to people? There's people listening to this. What does that mean to people with diabetes? What does that mean to people who have these chronic diseases where they need that income, they need that extra coming in? What does it mean to them when it comes to premiums,
I mean,
and health care?
You know, this is life or death. This is about dollars, but it's about life or death. You know, we're the National Committee to Preserve Social Security is the second largest senior citizen lobbying group in the country, and we have about almost 4 million members and supporters. The point I've been trying to make for the last couple of years, I think I'm making progress, I'm not there yet, is under the Affordable Care Act, if you are on Medicare, you are getting more and paying less for it. You mentioned cancer, diabetes. Under the Affordable Care Act, if you're on Medicare for the first time ever under the program, you get, with no out-of-pocket cost, screenings for cancer, for diabetes, for colonoscopies, mammograms, an annual wellness visit with a physician, with no cost. 37 million Medicare beneficiaries have taken advantage of that and have sought that kind of medical treatment and advice. So you know what that means? We're going to save money in the long run. We're going to detect these awful diseases earlier. They'll be treatable at a lower cost. But even more important than that, we're saving lives. The Affordable Care Act is saving lives. People have insurance, or they have more benefits under Medicare. I read just this morning that if a Medicare beneficiary in the next 10 years, unless the court throws this whole thing out, will save about $5,000 on the cost of prescription drugs because of the provisions in the Act that provide discounts for Medicare, that close that donut hole that we all saw happen in 2003, and the gap in out-of-pocket costs for prescription drugs. And one of the great virtues of the Affordable Care Act as it relates to Medicare is it extended the solvency of the Medicare program by 7 years. All that disappears. The preventative care, the drug cost savings, the solvency extension, all that disappears. So everybody's got a stake in this, and especially those that I represent, seniors on the Medicare program.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about that and you say, what is the second largest lobbying group, right? And now we're seeing the swing because the baby boomers are coming into that. Do you think that sometimes with healthcare, and we can't help it, you know, we're busy, we're on our 10,000 devices, it's everything's fine until something happens to you, right? Is that part of that? Do you try to raise the awareness that, hey, listen, you know, 20 years from now, you're going to be wanting to know, why did this happen?
Right. Well, not just 20 years from now. You know, so this is especially true with Social Security. It's insurance for families. It's for retirees, yes, but a third of Social Security benefits goes right now to non-retired workers, to the disabled that I just mentioned. 4 million children, almost 4 million children, get Social Security benefits because they have a parent who died or was disabled, survivors. Here's a very startling statistic. If you are a 27-year-old worker today, forget about when you retire and you're 66 or 67. If you're a 27-year-old worker today with a spouse and two children, you have right now about $500,000 worth of life and disability insurance because of Social Security. So it's important that younger people have a huge stake in these social insurance programs. And like you just said, you don't even think about it till something bad happens in a family, and all of a sudden someone might say, hey, you know, you should check out Social Security because the children are eligible for benefits.
Right.
Or someone becomes disabled, or a spouse gets survivor benefits. So I try to make the point by looking at the acronym FICA.
Mm-hmm.
We all know, we remember seeing that on our early, in our careers, on our paychecks. And I know people have wondered, who the heck is FICA? Why are they getting some of this
right.
money? Federal Insurance Contribution Act. It's insurance for families, for old age, survivor, and disability benefits. So it's important to have that perspective, especially with the younger folks that aren't thinking about retirement.
On the Hill and in the lobbying aspect of it, where do you find the most support? Who are some of the biggest supporters?
I think a lot of individuals who've had a personal experience, as with many things on Capitol Hill, with a problem or an issue, are for the usually very supportive. I've spent some time with Senator Al Franken in his district, in his state, in Minneapolis, and his wife, I believe her parents died in an automobile accident, and in the 50s. And she got by in life with her siblings because of Social Security survivor benefits, as children's benefits. And he's written about it. He's written a book. He's written about it. I think the strongest, some of the strongest advocates for Social Security and Medicare in the Senate, Senator Bernie Sanders, a champion for seniors, for the middle class, for veterans, the disabled. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, Senator Brian Schatz of Hawaii, Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon, pretty dedicated supporters of Social Security. And there are others, Senator Shaheen in New Hampshire. And there are many in the House who are committed to protecting these programs as well.
Yeah. Do you most of the people that call you? I mean, what to you, of all the people out there that you, I'll say, represent or lobby for, what's the scariest group that are affected by some of the things that we've been talking about today? Meaning, what's the age range now that you're?
I think it's not so much the age, but those that are disabled. Who don't have a lot of alternatives, they can't go back to work.
Right.
You know, the arguments made with seniors, some of them can, if they can't get by, can look for some jobs at the big box outlets and try to do something to supplement that small Social Security check. But the disabled, they don't have a choice. You know, I should have mentioned two women in the Congress that chair the Seniors Task Force in the House of Representatives, Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky and Congresswoman of Chicago, and Doris Matsui of Sacramento. They're out there every day working on behalf of seniors and the disabled and those that need the help of Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.
Yeah, trying to get the word out, trying to tell people, yeah, we're listening to you. They're listening to their constituents, absolutely. And, I mean, this is an issue. I think, really, it's not Democrat or a Democratic issue or Republican, because it affects so many people.
Hey, look, we've done polling for the last few years. Social Security has overwhelming support, regardless of political persuasion. Democrats, I think 82% of Democrats support improving Social Security, making the benefits adequate, more adequate. I think it's 77% of Republicans and nearly that many independents. So this, you're right. It's not, it may be partisan here in Washington. It's not, partisan outside the Beltway.
Yeah, not the people listening to America Tonight. Max, always a pleasure to have you on the show. It's good to see you again.
Thank you so much.
Great information. Thank you.
So who else will you meet at the Get Prepared Expo? For starters, from Republic Broadcasting, John Moore and John Stadtmiller. From GCN, Aaron and Brad Dakins, Joyce Riley, and me, Vincent Finelli. Joining us are the instructors whom you've learned to trust. Surgeon of the Year, Dr. Norman Shuley. Engineer, Matt Stein. The real Fox Mulder of the X-Files, Dr. Richard Allen Miller. Author and analyst, Captain John Reagan. Your counter-terrorist from Central America, Mike Ma. Dental center owner and my dentist, Dr. Howard Shane. Radiation instructor, Craig Douglas. Author and survivalist, Rich Sheban. Author, Judy Dollarhite. Cancer center owner from Mexico, Dr. Patrick Vickers. Bug out expert and pilot, Captain Bill Sermo. Beekeeper, Jeff Maddox. Seedsman, Mike Knox. Author, Gayla Pruitt. Author, Harry Cooper. Food expert, Joe Acapinti. And Bill Whaley, the junk man. March 27, 28, and 29. GetPreparedExpo.com, the largest preparedness and survival expo in the USA.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins. But did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Attention listeners, SurvivalLife.com is giving away free EverStrike permanent matches for a limited time only. These matches are waterproof and will light in any weather condition, rain, snow, or sleet. It will still throw a spark. Its built-in ferro rod strikes at 3,000 degrees, and it is good for 15,000 strikes. Normally, $15. Today, it's free. Get yours at freewaterproofmatch.com. Again, that's freewaterproofmatch.com. Hurry, supplies are limited. Visit freewaterproofmatch.com today.
This is Tim Austin, Senior Vice President of Kmart. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. As a business leader, I know that babies born very sick or too soon cost businesses billions of dollars each year. That's why Kmart is committed to raising funds through our employees, customers, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.
Sugar Boy called me last night. He said his girl called him. He said, can I come over? She said,
As always, as I mentioned before, we are very pleased to be here in Washington, D.C. Such a great group of people in this room, I'm telling you. I mean, you can feel the energy because they realize the significance of what's happening, certainly, and always do with healthcare, but what's happening with these oral arguments that are happening in King versus Burwell tomorrow, Families First USA Radio Row. And we are here with the founding. I want to make sure I got this right because he is the grand poobah. He has so many titles and has a lot of influence on some of the things that are happening. And I'm saying that not as flattery, but it's the truth. But Ron Pollack is the founding executive director of Families USA. And so people know and they're clear on this. It's the National Organization for Healthcare for Consumers. It's you. It's the people that are listening to us right now in even Ottumwa, Iowa, Dallas, Texas, Sarasota, Florida, New York, New Jersey, my old digs in Philadelphia. And He's one of the top 9 nonprofit lobbyists. So anytime you're in the top 10 of anything, I'm going to say that's pretty good. So, Ron, always a pleasure to chat with you. We should do it more often, but I've had the pleasure of coming to several of these, and I've watched as from the very beginning the Affordable Care Act and its evolution, and right before it happened, and as we've seen it go along, and now with this challenge of the Supreme Court, what does that mean to you? Because you fought those battles for so long, even going back to '97 when Bill Clinton turned to you to look for help for the consumers.
Well, you know, one of the things you learn about social movements, and this obviously is a social movement, is there's no such thing as final victories or final defeats. You just got to keep on going. And so we won a marvelous victory in 2010 with the passage of the Affordable Care Act. It's not perfect, of course, but it's a huge step forward. There's just a never-ending opposition to it. We've had over 50 votes in Congress to repeal the legislation. We're back again in the Supreme Court, and this Supreme Court often makes decisions, unfortunately, far more politically than legally. So it's scary, but we've got to keep on fighting. As I like to say, you got to keep on keeping on.
That's true. You got to keep on keeping on. What do you hear from people? Because what I like about your organization is you do find the stories, because it's about people. It's about the woman who has cancer and kids and could never have afforded what happened to her. It's because I think that's part of the opposition, just looking at it as cold and, you know, healthcare, this. But when you bring it down to the level of the people, and your organization is really good about doing that. How does it make you feel when you get those emails or you hear those stories about somebody's life being changed from life to death because of what's happened?
Well, we have flown in dozens of people for the argument tomorrow. You know, there's an irony about this lawsuit, and that is you got two parties. You got the anti-Obamacare folks who want to bash, and you got the government who's defending the Affordable Care Act. But the real people who are affected by this litigation, their voices will not be heard in the courtroom. And so we're trying to amplify those voices. And so we at Families USA flew in dozens of people at our expense, because these are folks who couldn't afford coming in.
Sure.
And our hope is that through radio programs like yours and outside the court, when they're going to be all the cameras out there, that these people can express themselves and that the public will have a better understanding of what the stakes are.
Yeah. Do you think that's part of it, is what we're talking about here, is that people don't realize, or they're not educated enough on exactly what the Affordable Care Act is all about?
There's still a lot of confusion about this. This is a very lengthy piece of legislation, and it has complexities to it. So I still think there are high percentages of people in the country who don't understand the Affordable Care Act and how it can affect their lives. You know, we've made enormous progress. About one-third of the people who were uninsured before the Affordable Care Act was implemented have now got health coverage. That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
We've still got two-thirds to go. And many of them are not aware of the subsidies. Many of them are not aware that they're supposed to buy health insurance coverage. And so perhaps this lawsuit, with all the dangers that it entails, will be a teaching moment.
Yeah, I like that, a teaching moment. Do you, as somebody who I was mentioning in the top 10 nonprofit lobbyists, and that's a tough game when you're talking about, you know, you're like a wrangler. Somebody told me it's like a cat herder on the Hill. Do you find that, I mean, do you try to work with Republicans? Do you try to find that niche where there's somebody that's, you know, willing to sway the needle in a different direction?
Well, of course. Having been doing this for a long, long time, mm-hmm. in the past, there was bipartisanship. I mean, for example, the Children's Health Insurance Program was created in 1997. The co-sponsors of that legislation were two strange bedfellows, Ted Kennedy and Orrin Hatch. And, you know, that's significant. Now, with respect to the Affordable Care Act, we've had no bipartisanship, and so the Republicans keep on attacking and attacking and attacking. At some point, particularly if we win in the Supreme Court, and depending on the elections in 2016, I think this will be behind us, and then hopefully Democrats, Republicans, independents can come together and make improvements and do it on a bipartisan basis. I welcome that that moment. Right now, we are not having bipartisan.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I think that's part of it. Why not tweak it? If you have something there, it certainly doesn't mean that that has to stay as in its existence. So tweak it to for the betterment instead of the opposite way.
Yeah, let's make sure people get high-quality care. Let's make sure that the cost people bear for things like deductibles, copayments,
yeah,
that we can keep those down. These are kinds of things we should be able to work together on.
Yeah, and, you know, deductibles is the big argument for the middle class about, oh, my deductibles, you know, when we went up, it's $6,000, it's this or it's that. And, of course, as you know, the lower you can get that, the better.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you don't just look at the premiums, but you also look at the deductibles. You got to look at the copayments. And all those things are big factors for people's pocketbooks. I think we can make some improvements. And I'm hopeful once we get over this real set of battles between Democrats and Republicans that we can work together and deal with those problems.
You said that when we first sat down and we're talking about, of course, the oral arguments tomorrow. What does your gut tell you? Because you've had you've watched this court, you've watched this issue and where it's gone. What do you think, if you were handicapping it for me, what do you think has to happen here?
Well, let me say, I've argued cases in the Supreme Court, and I've been a law school dean. So I would say if the court looks at this case and purely applies the law, I think we're going to be in very good shape. If, on the other hand, political instincts prevail, and this court, in effect, gets recruited as part of the partisan fights, then we've got some trouble. So it depends, and we'll have a better idea tomorrow. If I had to predict, I think we're going to come out okay, but you never know till you hear the decision by the court.
Yeah, and then that catapults all those people with the subsidies into what, nowhere man's land, that they're going to have to pay more is what it will amount to.
Well, this makes a huge difference in terms of what people pay out of pocket. And if the subsidies go away and people have to pay that plus what they're paying right now,
right,
the overwhelming majority of people are going to find that insurance is unaffordable for them. And most of these folks are going to rejoin the ranks of the uninsured.
And then, of course, you have, as you mentioned, this, you have the mandate. So now that would be at odds with the mandate.
Well, it would be at odds with the mandate. The law does say that if you have to pay more than 8% of your income in premiums,
mm-hmm,
then you're exempted from the mandate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for some people, the premiums will exceed 8%. It doesn't exceed 8% when you're getting the subsidies and you're getting the help you need to make the coverage affordable.
Right, and the bigger thing is how many people, as a result, won't get treatment for cancer, for diabetes, for that kind of stuff.
Well, the Urban Institute issued a report. It's a nonpartisan think tank. They said that if this case results in subsidies being withdrawn, more than 8 million people will join the ranks of the uninsured. 8.2 million was the figure they estimated.
Wow. And that's across the country, all these nooks and crannies where you're listening to us now.
And in particular, it's in states that are some of the poorer states in the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think of the Southeast, those are the states that would be hit really hard.
Yeah. Ron Pop, thanks so much. Appreciate it. It's always good to see you.
Well, thanks so much for being here and for airing programs like this so that your listeners can better understand this. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks, Ron.
Here is what one doctor has to say about Extendivite.
I would
would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on your product and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. The yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.